Yeah, I'm back. I'm back. Together with David in the studio. Very good morning to yourself, and welcome to today's edition of the Early Morning Scoop.
Good morning, Matthias. Good morning to our listeners. And how are you doing?
I'm doing very fantastic.
Yeah.
And what do you have for us this morning?
Yeah, today we're going to speak about uranium. We're going to speak about uranium, especially in the context of Niger. It was stated that the World Bank arbitration court has stopped Niger to sell uranium into the international market, especially where you have some of the disputes between the government of Niger and also international company or French multinational company, which was in the business of, you know, extracting and also selling of uranium from Niger. And maybe we are also going to look at the areas of economic diversification to say, in a situation when a country start to take over its resources, what is the reaction of the external world? We are also going to contextualize Namibia because there have been much talk about owning of our natural resources and also not selling of raw materials. But what you need to remember is that in 2023, Niger came up with a policy to say, when they took over government militarily, they came up with a policy to say, we are not going to sell raw materials anymore. We need to own our uranium. And all those companies which are selling uranium as raw materials, we are going to halt their operations. But that is the reaction from the world to say, okay, this company, imagine taking me to court because of my natural resources. And the World Bank gave that ruling to say, you in Niger, you are not going to sell that uranium. You have to pay it back to their owner, which is Uranus. And if you are not able to do that, Uranus will have opportunity to seize your properties and loyalties that are invested outside. Because, you know, government do business outside to expand their economy. Imagine if you invest, for example, in Amazon, for example, as Namibian government, to extend your money. But in a situation that you did something wrong, the World Bank can give a right to somebody that you are aggrieved to take your shares from the other side. That's why it's at a very difficult position. And I'll speak to Kanjongo. He's expert in these areas of you know, mining and energy, to see what Namibia can learn from this.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think we have much lessons to learn because. I don't know if you can remember, but, you know, there were some times that our relationship with North Korea was scrutinized.
Yes.
Because of the same thing.
Yeah.
And I know that there were several projects North Koreans were doing in the country.
Yeah.
But there were times that they were ordered, they were given marching orders. But coming to the International Center for Settlement of Investment Disputes,
yeah,
Arbitration Tribunal.
Yeah.
I believe this dispute was brought to that tribunal by the World Bank, which has ordered Niger to stop selling uranium from the Soma mine.
Yeah.
Which the French company Orano claims was seized from it. So now the World Bank, in addition, also is requesting the release of some detained country representative in Niger.
Yeah, when Niger took over government, that is, you know, when the Sahel region stood up and took over government to say, no, this government is not operational, it's not benefiting the people, and so on. We have seen, it's not only Niger, in the Sahel region, you have Burkina Faso, you have Mali, you have Central and many other countries in that region.
Mm.
But what happened is that they came up with a law. It's a military government. They came up with a law to say, we are going to stop selling raw materials.
Mm.
Because we realize that when you go to international market, raw materials, they are not making us profit. And then they came up with that law, and they found those who are breaking the laws. And one of those who are breaking the laws is Oranos. Oranos is a French company. It's a French multinational company. It's like you are telling somebody mining at Rossing to say, guys, this is the matching orders. This is what we are coming up with, because Niger came up with a process of economic diversification and ending value. But somebody can say, no, these are my minerals, and I'm taking you to court, and it's in your country. But those guys who were arrested, I think they in that context, they were arrested because they were found breaking the laws, to say they were told to stop, and they continued doing so. It's internal affairs. I don't think it was even necessary to go outside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that is internal affairs. If you have internal laws, I don't think there is a necessity to look at outside. Why should somebody from outside come and make those decisions? Mm-hmm. And also threatening to seize properties and royalties. We also need to look at that in the context of Namibia to say, is this just a threat to African countries, or what lesson Namibia can learn? Especially when we are looking at almost the same direction, although we have different ways of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So just for your own information, in June 2025, Niger military junta seized the Soma mine, in which Orano holds a majority stake, after months of blocking export and raiding company offices. And Orano claims assets that the uranium produced at the mine are withheld by the Niger government. Niger government has been stolen from them. And also, Orano representatives in Niger were apparently detained in May 2025.
Look, you know why we are there, eh?
Yeah.
I think it's just an art of words, and also maybe, I don't know, depends on who is writing.
Yeah.
Detained, raid, military junta, and all these things. If in simple terms, it's a government enforcing the laws. If you are looking at it from this perspective,
yeah.
A person, if you are found breaking the laws, you are not detained. You are arrested.
Mm.
But that is a perspective. You understand who is driving the narrative.
Yeah.
You understand.
Mm.
It's a sovereign country implementing its laws and also arresting those who are breaking laws.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not raiding.
Yeah.
If somebody came up with a law to say stop doing that, we are looking at this one,
mm-hmm.
and you are continue doing what you are doing, then you are coming and you are not detained, you are arrested for breaking the laws.
Yeah,
understand? And the art of words also matters in this context, because it drives certain narratives to say, because you are a military government, you do not have directions and all those things. But it's a narrative that they've been given. But when you look at the only thing that, for example, Traoré did not do right is the way he came to power. But other than that, the 90% you must give it to him for economic transformation, for example.
Mm.
And that is a narrative which is being driven. But yeah, it's how we look at it also, and also how we interpret it. Because if you are looking at it from both sides, you will realize to say something is not right here.
Yeah. On that note, I have to love you and leave you, and in cup of the hands of David, from myself. We will meet again tomorrow. Tomorrow, same time, same frequency. From myself, bye-bye for now. Join us every weekday for the Twilight between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. where we discuss various ways on how we can develop our country. The Twilight, before the sun comes out. Join us every weekday for the Twilight between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. where we discuss various ways on how we can develop our country. The Twilight, before the sun comes out.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Good morning. Wherever you are finding yourself, welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And it's right time to thank Matias Angala with the Twilight. And yeah, it's the 30th of September 2025, 14 minutes past the hour of 6. And you are into Early Morning Scoop. This is the Early Morning Economic Developmental Conversational Program that we have from 6 to 8 a.m. And yeah, we are progressing. We are progressing in terms of pushing toward the end of 2025. And you understand that from tomorrow, we will say we only have 1 month before December. And yeah, let us look at USAID. Then we continue with the EMS.
Get your monthly essential products for just 599 Namibian dollars at USAID. Get 10 kilogram each of Marathon White Sugar, Champion Super Maize Meal and Bokomo Fed Cook Flour. Also 5 kilos nice rice as well as 500 grams grande pasta. All 5 products for only 599 Namibian dollars. You save, I save, yes we all save at USAID.
Yes, we are moving with Early Morning Scoop. As I indicated, this is your Early Morning Conversational and Economic Developmental Program. This is where we have real discussion about issues. And yeah, before we go there, sorry, it's important also to look at what we have done throughout the year. What are those things that we are proud of? Because it's the 30th of September. And one thing which is very scary, especially, when you are growing up and when you are receiving this wisdom from the elders, is to say, when you go to bed and you are 20 years old, when you wake up tomorrow, you are 20 years and 8 hours. The same thing happen wherever you are. You are not growing young anymore. Just know that time wasted is income lost. And make sure that time wasted never come back, because if you sleep, you are 30 years old. When you wake up, 30 years old and a few hours. If you sleep and you are 30 years old or 31 and 5 hours, when you wake up, you still end. Every minute, every second, you are growing older every second. And that is the definition of time to you. But it's always important to make sure that at least you do one or two things which you are proud of and which you are not going to regret by the time you reach the age of 70. To say, no, when we were young, at least I did this one. When I was at a certain point in time, at least I did this one. Yes, I failed here. But at least there are things that you are proud of, and you look back and say, this is what I did, instead of just blaming people or instead of just, criticizing the whole system and everybody, and not holding myself accountable. So yeah, as I indicated, this is a program that is accommodative to everybody, especially in conversation that we put on the table, in conversation that we put on the table, and also we value contribution, because we are here to educate one another. We are here to update each other on what is happening in the global arena, what is happening in the continent of Africa in terms of development, in terms of economy, in terms of governance, policy issues, and also to learn from you, because you will be surprised, because what you put on the table, you don't know how many lives are you changing. You do not know how many people are listening from you, and you do not know what wisdom you are sharing with these people, so that at least we get our country where it needs to get, so that we implement what needs to be implemented. Because we have been talking for the past 35 years. We have been discussing issues for the past 35 years. We have been planning and putting plans on the table, NDP 1 to 6, Vision 2030, Harambe Prosperity Plan 1 and 2. And we are saying much need to be done, much could have been done, but what can we do? We need to elevate the conversation beyond the conversation of who was dancing the best last night, or who was buying alcohol last night, who is driving the expensive car in town, who is the most beautiful and you know, on standard lady in the certain town. Let us elevate the conversation so that at least we get one or two, and we can advance development, not only in terms of economic expansion, but infrastructure and human development. Just before we go straight to the table, what we have on the table, it's always important to make sure that you follow us at all our social media platforms, Facebook, X, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Look for the page of Eagle FM Namibia, like and share, so that you won't miss out. We also have the Villager newspaper. It's an e-paper which is coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And with the Villager newspaper, you can get the soft copy of the Villager newspaper every Monday morning, every Wednesday morning, by making sure that you send your name and save this number as your WhatsApp contact detail. That is 081-200-4144. Look at the page of the Villager newspaper, like and share, because you will not miss out. And the interesting thing about the Villager newspaper is that we don't only give you up-to-date information about economics. We give you insight. We give you economic insight. We give you developmental insight. That is why if you are a researcher, you are an academics, make sure that the Villager newspaper is part of your sources of information, and is your point of departure when you are expanding your research, and when you are expanding your direction. Either you are writing a paper, you are presenting, you have a certain project, you are looking for data, look for what is happening currently, and compare with sources that you have, so that you can move to the right direction. And the other thing is also that you find those who are asking quite very interesting questions, to say, Eagle FM Namibia, where are you? What's happened with the frequency at this part of town? The other time there was somebody from Zambezi who was calling on air. And I indicated to say the best thing to do, go to Play Store, go to App Store, and download Eagle FM app, so that that app will be able to assist you and listen to the programs which are on air, like currently now. And you can also listen to the previous program. Make sure that you download that Eagle FM app wherever you are, whether you are outside the country, whether you are, as long as you are connected to internet, whether you are in Botswana, you are in Malaysia, you are in UK, you are in Brazil, Taipei, wherever you are in Russia. Just make sure that when you are connected to internet, you will be able to listen to us, and we will be able to update you on what is happening locally, regionally, and also internationally. And yeah, you can also listen to previous programs. That is through podcast. If you miss out, you can also listen to the podcast and trace back previous programs. And yeah, we also have Imba App. Imba App is a digital version of a hymn book. Those of us who go to church, those of us who, you know, you are invited to a certain graduation, you're invited to a certain wedding where people are celebrating love, or unfortunate life events such as death in a family or a loved one, and you need to give such a respect, and you need to sing from a hymn book, and you do not have it at that point, particularly the hard copy hymn book, don't need to worry, because phones nowadays, you can just go to Play Store, App Store, you download Imba App. Either is the hymn book for Chiwambo, that is your Catholic Hangano. Either is the hymn book in Chiherero, That is your Maimborilo. Is African, whether it's in Afrikaans, whether it's in Silozi and other local Namibian languages. So download Imba app and you make your life more easier and work smart instead of working with a hammer, because the world of digitalization is always reminding us that technology is here to make our work easy and also to save time and energy and to promote high level of efficiency. So yeah, the other thing is you need to make sure that if you are a business person, we are always advising and indicating to you that whether you are a small business operator, medium business operator, you are a multinational company and you want to extend, you want to improve your revenue, make sure that you invest in advertisement. Advertise with us. Buy airtime on air so that you can be able to get, your potential customers, your next customer, because those who listen to Eagle FM Namibia, those who read the Villager newspaper, you'll be able to get a large amount of customers, whether it's in Namibia or outside, because we don't only get listened to by people who are in Namibia, but wherever you are in the world, people read the Villager newspaper wherever they are in the world. That is why we are always indicating to you that money invested in advertisement is money on the way to the owner in an extended amount. It's money in the way back to you with interest. What you can do, communicate with Meme Monica Ipinge, that is our marketing manager, at 083-288-400. When you speak to Meme Monica Ipinge, you will negotiate what are you going to, where are you going to advertise, when, at what time, at what price. And in that way, you do business. In that way, you expand your revenue. And you also create employment. So create employment, because employment matters. Employment matters because that is the only way you can be able to upgrade human development. And yeah, it's 24 minutes past the hour of 6. We are moving with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And we are here. We are here until the hour of 8. And yeah, let us pay the bills. Let us pay the bills. Then we'll look at what is happening around the world, what is happening around the world, and also what is happening in the region of SADC, and also what is happening in Namibia, particularly issues of politics, economics, and development. So stay tuned. We are here. We are here until the hour of 8.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Ripurane ngeno wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwepo tete okoye ekukulile oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuwana Kono ngeshefa ya pumbo kukara ya kovanu Okupitira mo Eagle FM Otuna evi tota njuka Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi Nawa Nune uto Otukupitira o special Ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi Dayo loka Opone ushendike nawa Nukumona oijabwiri nawa Ninge fata fano na Monica Ko Eagle FM Onora etafimwe bali heali Nola natu heali bali no heali Ile konderewa Nora hetatu natu Bali o hetatu watatu Oma felane Eagle FM The Eye
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. And we need to start with the news of what is happening with, Madagascar. It was stated that... The president of Madagascar dissolve government. The president of Madagascar dissolve government amidst, deadly protest. There's a bit of chaotic protest in Madagascar, especially by the youth. And it was stated that in the context of Madagascar, around 22 people were reported dead. And over 100 people were injured, it's indicated that it's a challenge against the authority. And it is stated that this protest is spearheaded by young people, inspired by Generation Z movement in Kenya, and it's quite catastrophic protest, especially looking at the history of Madagascar. It's a bit being quiet, because when you look at Madagascar is an island in the Indian Ocean. It's an island in the Indian Ocean. It's part of SADC region. It's part of SADC region. And it has a population of around 30 people. And when you look at what the president have done, because in most cases politics or politicians, they find alternatives because the president has dissolved the government. The president has a right to dissolve the government. And also look at what needs to be done, especially in the situation where executive become unfunctional, become not functional. And it's not the first time. Remember that at one point, Ruto has also dissolved his cabinet due to some of chaotic activities which happened, particularly regarding demonstration and also, a restructuring of government. Now, the question that needs to be asked is that why there is protest in Madagascar? Why there is protest in Madagascar? The first thing is shortage of water, a blackout and shortage of water, a shortage of services in Madagascar. That's what brought youth in the street and have caused this, chaotic activities. And the United Nations Human Rights Office confirmed casualties result from security forces and also violence of looting by unrelated gangs. And remember, when you have chaos in the country, there are also those who are using chaos as the means to get what they want, especially those gangs, because you find there's a demonstration, a fair demonstration, but you find those who are going with guns, and also find those who are finding ways also to rob people while they are protesting or looting. at the end of the day, it becomes so chaotic. That's why there was this, chaotic demonstration, which killed 22 people and around 100 people injured. And the president has to dissolve the government, And in such situation, we see what will happen next. What will happen next in Madagascar? What will happen next? And also remember, when you look at Madagascar, and also the role that the president of Madagascar has, especially pertaining regional peace, you must be able to remember that the president of Madagascar is currently the chairperson of SADC. And looking at the chaotic situation, we are also being able, we'll be able to see how this situation, going to be solved. Because he was supposed to lead by example, or the country was supposed to lead by example. Because if you are the political head of SADC, when there is chaotic in SADC region, it was you who was supposed to, you know, to be at the center of those conflict resolutions, and also to protect the lives and the economy of people. But now, looking at how things are now, because it's not. It's not long ago, you were just given that the chair by MS Mnangagwa, as the political head of SADC on the 18th of August there. But looking at how things are now, we yet to see and how SADC is going to respond. But we need to look at this news moving forward.
Madagascar's President Andry Rajoelina announced on Monday the dissolution of the government in response to youth-led protests regarding water and power outages, which the United Nations reports have resulted in at least 22 fatalities and over 100 injuries. These reports, inspired by the so-called Gen Z movements in Kenya and Nepal, have lasted 3 days and represents the largest demonstration the Indian Ocean island has experienced in years. The president expressed his desire to foster dialogue with the youth and pledged to implement measures to assist businesses impacted by looting. "We demand Rajoelina's resignation. If he is incompetent, he must step down, because students suffer, the people suffer, everyone suffers because electricity doesn't work. There are water cuts. We are preparing our thesis and there is no electricity." This is a litmus test for Rajoelina, who first took power in 2009 coup and his controversial third term re-election in 2023.
We see, it's a test to Rajoelina, Andry Rajoelina, the president of Madagascar. And, it was stated that this protest is due to blackout of, electricity and also water. And it's led by Generation Z or Generation Z. And, you need to understand that, in the context of Generation Z, it's also the generation which gave pressure to President William Ruto. President William Ruto, because when you look at the basic definition of somebody who is called Generation Z, is somebody from the age of approximately 13 to 28 there. Be able also to see people who are born between, 1997 and 2012. And in categorization of generation, every generation is defined due to year. And it's also up to us to go deep and also see which category are you. And with Generation Z, it's those young people who are between the age of 12 to 28 there. born from 1997 to 2012 there. They are not yet 30, but those are the Generation Z, and they are the one which are causing these chaotic activities, especially looking at the situation that youth in that context, they are seeking for services. Young people, they want electricity so that they can study. That is what caused around 22 people died. Because when you look at what also need to be done, especially in African continent, is to make sure that when you are blocking the young and energetic young people and you are not giving them opportunities, anything can come in, and anything can also lead to insecurity within that country. Because when you look at Africa having 70% of the population below the age of 30, you'll be able to realize that from the age of 19 to 30 there, if there is no opportunities, if the services are not delivered, young people, they end up in a situation where anything which come in, they jump into it. And that's why if you handle this generation very well, you have a very strong human capital. But if you don't handle it, this is the age of activeness, where people were supposed to be at university and also were supposed to be starting with their early professions. But in this regard, it is it's going to have a very negative impact on the economy of Madagascar, which also depends more on agriculture and tourism, and it will also have a negative spillover in the SADC region. In the SADC region, although it's an island in India Ocean, which is part of SADC, or it's part of African continent, Madagascar still share trade with SADC, and also inability to solve that conflict in the context that the president is still the chairperson of SADC, of SADC. Will be able also to see that a lot of things will happen. And what will happen when you dissolve government? Because when you dissolve government, you are shifting the blame. You are still standing. Now you have absolute power to make decisions. And security forces and Generation Z in Madagascar, they are head-to-head. They are head-to-head with each other. And it's something that need to be looked at, because as we have always been saying, to say for you to handle the economy very well, you need to make sure that you take care of the young people, because these are the only people who are at the majority age of activeness and working. And these are the only people who are holding the economy. And when you do not have in the mainstream economy, you have a huge gap, and it will automatically spill over, which is not something that can be handled. So in this regard, when you look at, you can also compare to what happened in Mozambique last year during October elections. What happened? How deadly were those protests? Who were spearheading those protests? Is the young and people without opportunities, who think that is the only way, and who think politics or political participation and also protest is the only way to solve our problems. Look, ask yourself this question. Who are the participants in M23? Do you think the effectiveness of M23 is made up of veterans in the military? These are the young people. Who are the child laborers? Who are the child soldiers in Central Africa? These are the youth who do not have opportunities. And when you give them an AK-47 and you tell them this is the only way you are going to get the economy, they will do it without hesitation. That's why for us to deal with the aspect of regional security is directly connected to the economic path. And failing to handle that will also have a direct impact on the development of SADC, because people will run to Namibia, they will run to Zimbabwe, they will run to South Africa, and they will look for assistance, and it will be very chaotic if we are not handling that very well. But looking at the context of Madagascar, let's see and hope the situation will be solved, and also let's see how the president of Madagascar, Andry Rajoelina, who handled this situation, and also the House Sandek, who handled this situation to that extent that the chair is within that country. And let's hope the situation will be solved. Yeah, let us look at Zambia. Let us look at Zambia. It was indicated that dozens of Zambian farmers have filed lawsuits against Chinese company Sinometals, alleging that massive toxic spill massive toxic spill from its mining waste dam and contaminated their land, posing several health risks. And also these farmers are demanding compensation. And it was stated that 50 farmers in Zambia are demanding $220 million US dollars from a Chinese company, especially when it comes to the aspect of environmental impact, because in any situation, a multinational company or a local company operating within certain region or within a certain country, there are issues of environmental clearance, and there are also issues of adhering to the requirements that you are adhering to the laws, especially laws which are protecting the environment, and also laws which are protecting also the health of people around that context, because unregulated mining have caused destruction. Even unregulated sand mining have caused destruction in terms of farming, and also the future of the indigenous people. So let us look at this context, and how many farmers are this, and also what is their main demand, especially when it comes to this context of demanding compensation from this Chinese company. And let us look at this news.
Some 50 farmers are now suing the Chinese mining company Sinometals Leach following a massive spill of toxic waste near the town of Kitwe last February. This new lawsuit comes less than 2 weeks after 176 local residents filed a separate complaint against the same farm. The disaster occurred when a dam burst, releasing tens of millions of liters of mining waste into the heart of Zambia's copper belt. But the scale is far worse than first thought. A cleanup company reports the spill is 20 times larger than the Chinese company's original estimate, with dangerous levels of cyanide, arsenic, and copper, pollutants known to cause cancer and birth defects. The plaintiffs are seeking $220 million for an independent health assessment and immediate relocation. For its part, Sinometal Leach calls the lawsuit unfounded, stating it has already fulfilled its cleanup obligations under the government guidelines.
Yeah, that is what is happening. That is what's happening.
Madagascar's President Andry Rajoelina announced on...
That is what's happening, especially looking at Zambia, and also how international companies are dealing with locals, especially when it's coming to the issues of environmental clearance, and also adhering to international regulation, especially when it has to do with health, and also has to do with protection of the environment. And while we are there, it was just stated that the barrier of Zambia President Edgar Lungu is still in limbo. Since the family is still looking for other legal alternatives, to make sure that, they counter the decision of the Supreme Court, and there's still no clear plan on when and how the president, the former president of Zambia, is going to be buried, and also if this is the final decision, especially regarding the fact that the family of Edgar Lungu suffered a lot of defeat, especially when it comes to legal battles. There's still no clear plan on whether this was the final decision. This was the final decision. This was the final decision of the court regarding the burial of Edgar Lungu, as family still seek other alternatives in order to avoid, you know, this aspect of, you know, burying the former president, where you have the family saying we want our person to be buried in South Africa, because we did not care about him when he stepped out of power. And on the other side, the government is saying we want to bury the former president with dignity, because he was not just your father or your husband or your family member, but he was a national hero, and he was also, you know, head of state, and who deserved to be buried by his people, not only by the family. And when you look at what that advocate Tembeka Nkukai Tombi was presenting in court, he stated to say, in terms of the law, when Edgar Lungu died, he did not have, he died as an ordinary man, because he did not have any privilege. Because remember, when he died, the privilege of presidency was stripped off, and it was seen as a political move, as a political revenge. The privilege was, were stripped off, either his bodyguards, either his salaries, because in most cases the president retired with his own salary, his own protection unit, the chef, and also the treatment too. But when Tebeka this argued to say, when you strip off the privilege of a man, and when he died you want to respect him, I think now the dead body does not have any right anymore. But it's the power of the window to decide where the husband should be buried. It's quite a very interesting story to look at, especially to the law students, to look at differentiation in terms of argument, and also see what this will bring, looking at the future forward, and how it's going to change. What are the new case studies in the law, either in African jurisprudence? What are some of the new case studies, especially regarding state presidency, and also honoring of former head of state, and also arguments regarding who has a right to bury who, when, and what is the power of a domestic court over you know, a citizen from the other country. So let us look at commercial break, and we'll look at what we have on the table today. Look at what we have on the table today. As I indicated with Matthias, that today we are going to talk about mining, to talk about uranium. We are also going to look at case studies of, you know, we're going to look at case study of Niger, and also ask questions to say which direction Namibia is going to take, and what lesson can we learn from there. We're going to be joined by Nginomeno Vari, to join by Kajoka Nkwanyoka. Most of you, you know him, he's an in-house economist, and he has extensive experience in that area of, you know, energy and mining, and we are going to engage him especially regarding the case of Niger, where the international company from Niger, I mean the international company in Niger, Oranos, that is international company from France, which is operating in Niger, took the government to court, and especially the International Arbitration Court, that the government took their uranium illegally. although Niger government is defending itself to say, we are enforcing the law. We are very tired of selling raw materials, and we are enforcing our laws, and those uranium belong to us. That's why it's very critical to say who has the power over the sovereign of the country, and what is the power of international laws and also domestic laws. And in the case of Namibia, what the direction are we going to take, especially when you are in the context of economic diversification and you are speaking on the aspect of, you know, value addition. And also the question that to ask is that, is this a threat to African countries to punish them? Because the arbitration, the International Court of Arbitration is saying if Niger is not releasing those 1,000 tons of uranium, you know, stockpile, it will give the right to Oranos to make sure that they seize loyalties and also stocks that the government invested in outside of the country or outside of the country, which is a very shocking thing. So is it a threat or is this how things are being done? Is this a threat or is this how things are being done? That is what we are going to look at. But for now, we are going to look at Dangote, and to look at Aliko Dangote, where it was stated that the richest man in Africa, refinery has resumed petrol sale in Naira. It was stated that the Dangote Petroleum Refinery has reinstated the sale of petrol in local Nigerian Naira, reversing the brief suspension that had sparked concern over fuel availability, pricing stability in Africa's largest economy. Remember, last month, and at the beginning of this month, Aliko Dangote, for the first time, sent oil to the United States of America. He is expanding his business. He's one of the continental powerhouse, especially when it's coming to oil business. And he's also one of the business people who show interest in the sector of Namibian oil. But let us look at this news before we go to the main conversation. Before we go to the main conversation. So when you look at Aliko Dangote, you are also, if you are not inspired, you are so shocked to say how come he becomes so successful in this business, which was predominantly by, you know, either people from Europe or in the Middle East, but how come he end up, you know, business magnet in this area? And what lesson countries or citizens of Africa should learn, especially Namibian business people, to say how can they become key players in Namibian oil and gas, and also take that opportunity, some of the things that need to be learned, and also a good case study, especially to that of which are interested in oil and gas business. So let us look at this news before we go to what we have today.
Significant development for Africa's largest economy, Nigeria's massive Dangote Petroleum Refinery has resumed sales of petrol in the local currency, the Naira. The move comes just days after a temporary suspension that has raised concerns over fuel availability and pricing across the nation. In a notice to the customers late Saturday, the refinery announced sales would restart immediately. This reversal follows the intervention of the chairman of the special government body, the Naira for Crude Technical Committee. The Dangote refinery, the largest on the continent, began supplying the domestic market earlier this year. However, it has faced operational challenges, primarily difficulties in securing a steady supply of crude oil feedstock a symptom of Nigeria's broader oil production issues. This resumption is seen as a critical step towards stabilizing the country's fuel market.
Yes, the time is 56 minutes past the hour of 6, and we are progressing with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And as I indicated at 7, we'll be in communication with Kanyoko Kankwanyoka just to unpack this issue of Niger, and also to draw some lessons to say what Namibia need to learn from here. Especially when it comes to uranium, and also to ask questions to say, when we speak about uranium, do we really have power in the industry? How is our shares in the industry? Do we really have powers in making decisions regarding uranium? Is uranium ours or is not ours? And also ask questions to say, when you look, for example, in what's happening in Botswana, where Duma Boko put his foot down, when the president of Botswana put his foot down to say, Anglo-American companies, the BS, we need to talk. We need to talk. That is not correct, me having 15% in the market share of diamonds. Then we need to speak about these things. And the BS saying, no, we are not setting the stakes now. I say, no, you need to come on the table. I say, no, you do not have enough money to buy the shares. I say, no, I find other people who can buy these shares. We have already our friends from Oman, with the Middle East people, who are, you know, at the point of want to sell those, want to buy those shares, and want to do business with us because they are willing to invest in our deal, and Botswana must benefit 50 or beyond, because that is the center of the economy, and that has we contribute 70% to that diamond. That is what President of Duma Boko is saying. And when you look at Namibia, especially when we have ambitions of a nuclear reactor, a nuclear plant, especially for quote-unquote good reason, for good use, that is for energy, electricity, and also other radioactive activities, because uranium is used not only for energy, not only for weapons, but it's used for different purposes. It's also used in medication. It's also used in medication because it's not only limited to energy, and also making of atomic bombs. But yeah, that is something. It's a question that we need to ask to say, what does this mean? And also, what lesson can we learn from here? So, in a short period of time, we'll be in communication with Kanjoka Nkwanyoka just to assist us and unpack this case study.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the R.
Yes, we are moving forward with the early morning scoop. We are looking at the sector of uranium. And most of you have been asking, where is Kanjengo Kampuanyoka? And a lot of callers have been asking, where is Kanjengo? Kanjengo, good morning. And people, they have been asking you, but I think today we are here. And how are you doing?
Good morning to you, sir. No, we're good.
Yes, let us look at it. I've been looking at this case study and you are a person with deeper research in energy and also in mining sector. Looking at what the World Bank Arbitration Body has done, especially blocking Niger from selling of uranium. Maybe before we go into it, what is your view, especially to this action? Looking at the country enforcing its laws, and also looking at what have happened, what is your view when you get this news?
Look, there are two aspects to it.
Yeah,
there are two aspects to it.
Mm.
One of them, the common one, which we can say, respect for property rights.
Yeah,
and the other one. Or let's say respect of maintaining a property right, because if you are participating in the international commerce, you also have to adhere to the rules. You also have to, if we're going into a transaction, you are expected to respect it regardless of how it impacts you, what it does to your country, everything involved, you know.
Yeah.
That is the first aspect. Then the second aspect, is where an international body block a country from selling it uranium.
Yeah.
Or selling it a product to anybody.
Yeah.
So now you have to interpret that one like, okay, is it because now Niger lawyers didn't do well? Is it now because of what Niger decision?
Mm.
So now you have to put everything into context.
Mm, mm, mm.
But I'm going to be an African.
Yeah.
I'm going to be an African economist.
Yeah.
That is number one.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be a general expert and I'm going to be biased toward my continent to a certain extent. I'm going to be honest with that.
Yeah.
And in my biasness, if there is such a word, culminating from the historical context of things,
the
utilization of resources,
yeah.
And also where you have an international body blocking an individual country after a transaction between a country and a certain company,
mm-hmm.
You know. And yes, because I'm also going to download this whole document and this whole thing,
yeah.
Just so, because I think it's a learning curve for African countries and for those who are interested in doing things differently.
Mm.
So I'm full of different. I don't want to say emotions.
Yeah.
But it also has some emotion into it, and it also has some sort of level of anger.
Yeah.
And at the same time, courage to say we need to do different, we need to do better, we need to be more united,
yeah.
You know, so it's a lot of emotion, it's a lot of responses,
yeah.
Regardless of no matter what this world body used, this is a transaction between a country
and
a company,
yeah.
And you blocking me from selling, like, literally
my own thing.
Yeah. Yeah, my own thing actually to other clients.
Yeah.
And also, there is also aspect. Which country now is the World Bank going to tell other countries not to buy my uranium?
Yeah.
It's like there is a sort of collusion. I don't want to say we are respecting the world trade laws because the USA are not respecting it.
Yeah.
Europe is not respecting it.
Yeah.
So how are other countries going to respect this blocking? Are they going to be told that they're going to be sanctioned? So there's all those type of questions now that are surrounding this whole transaction.
Yeah, and maybe why you are there is in terms of laws regarding the management of natural resources, do I need permission to adjust my internal laws? Let me say we want different laws about how we deal with uranium in Namibia, or maybe how we deal with diamonds. Do I need I need to be liked by international institution, or as long as I'm within the laws? Because what Niger have done, they said no, we are going to halt you know, the selling of raw materials. We want to add value and want to diversify our economy. And Oranos was still operating, then they suspend their license. Then up to then, from there, that is what happened.
Look, the concept of sovereignty is very important.
Yeah.
That yes, I am playing within the international laws of trade.
Yeah.
But they should not be above my country, sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere, there are international laws, but sovereignty comes first.
Yeah.
Because if you listen to some of the argument the USA and Israel are using, that I do not want this type of neighbor, like I don't want them closer to me, and their reason is that they threaten my existence or my sovereignty.
Yeah.
So then we now, Africa, need to understand this, and all of us that are coming need to understand, no matter how strong the international laws in trade and whatever, they will never be bigger than sovereignty or internal law. And if you read the judgment of the International Court of Arbitration, they're even using some words.
Yeah.
They are saying that Niger stole the uranium from Orano. Look at the wording. They stole the uranium from Orano.
So
even the wording itself, Orano was mining in Niger.
Yeah.
The mine is in Niger. Mm. The license was given by the Niger government.
Yeah.
And the Niger government did an analysis. The junta did an analysis that, okay, we, to a certain extent, we are not getting what we want.
Yeah.
No. We are not getting what we want from this transaction or from your activity within our country.
Yeah.
And we are changing certain things because this is not what we want as a country. We are not looking at whatever the world is doing.
Yeah.
No, we are the one who gave you the license.
Yeah.
But there were certain, and that license was given by a different government. It was more affiliated to the French government, you know.
Oh, no, I think here is what we are not getting, right? Because this one is a new government with new transformation. I think that's what we are not getting right.
And not only that. The previous one was more in relationship with France.
Yeah.
France had the military there, and Niger realized that, yes, we do not want French troops anymore here. We want all of you to leave. We are now forging new relationship with Russia and Turkey.
Yeah.
And remember, Orano is from France. So now we are now faced with two things. The property right and the fact that I allowed you to do this. In the world of commerce, when something like that happens, we stick to that. Because Tama is a transaction, you give a license, you're supposed to stick to your word. But we barely now go deeper to say, yes, this license was given. Who gave this license? What were the conditions? What are our people getting out of this? But the funny thing is that the world does not expect Africa actually to say, I don't like this, what was done.
Yeah.
The condition during that time, the reasoning and the negotiation were just not in line with what we want.
Mm-hmm.
like there is a thin line. You have a government that is being supported by the this by France.
Yeah.
This company is French.
Yeah.
We have French soldier here. Look, you were negotiating under certain circumstances that we are not in now.
No, you're negotiating under duress.
Yeah, you can say that or whoever was negotiating was actually colluding.
Yeah.
The interest, because remember, and this is the one thing that I keep saying, colleagues, when we are saying it's an investment.
Yeah.
If you go deeper to analyze the word investment, investment is transformation. It means capital coming into a place and it transforms it. And when it's transforming that particular place, it also earning a return on it.
Yes. Yeah. Kanjengo, let us look at, because the court has also come with one of serious, I don't know if it's a threat or it's what is going to be done. You read the judgment. There is an indication to say if Niger violate this court ruling, Oranos is going to be entitled to seize assets, loyalties, which are owned by Niger abroad. Just before we go to that part, maybe just to explain to a layman to say how does a government invest abroad? Because we also need to understand that to say how do a government make money outside the country. Maybe start with there, then we go to that aspect.
Yeah, like for us, we have a contingency fund, right?
Yeah.
That contingency fund has money that need to be grown. And even if you look at our wealth fund.
Yeah.
Our wealth fund is asset or money.
Yeah.
And if you look at one of the articles or the provision, that assets are not going to be invested mostly in Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
They're invested outside.
Uh-huh.
And the market now, most of the market are European market, the USA market.
Mm-hmm.
So you expect now your interest to come on your money that you have invested in the stock within the US or the European.
Mm-hmm.
And now, given that your money is in European market or USA market, that is how they are going to get you. They are now going to say, we will also stop now paying the interest on your money which is invested in our economy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually the most dumbest thing, and people think Africans are dumb. So you are now, look, you are now saying that what I did to Orano is bad for taking their license.
Yeah.
And breaking a commercial transaction. But you do know you're blocking me from getting my royalty, my interest.
You think the
from
same
the
thing?
Money I invested in your country. Huh? You're also breaking a transaction.
It's a double standard.
It's a double standard. So how are you going to punish me with the same
things that you don't want?
That I did.
Yeah. I think it's something.
So that is not a punishment. That is just bullying at the highest level.
Uh-huh.
That is just, and that's why it's very important. If you look, Niger, Mali, and Burkina Faso, they all withdrew from the International Court of Justice, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they did.
They did.
Yeah.
Why? Because those institutions, they keep repeating and doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Now look at this International Court of whatever, or whatever this World Bank, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
They keep doing these things. And this is where now African countries are withdrawing.
Mm.
And we are now, not only that, we are now moving in a world of chaos. Because the international bodies have been so biased. And even if you listen to all African countries that were the UN, they were all calling the same thing, that either we create the UN and institutions that actually start viewing us African as equal.
Yeah.
Because you cannot have the highest decision-making body, but there are no Africans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that is where now it's just actually clarity to many African countries that if we are going to subscribe to these international institutions, but you have no African representation, then why are you actually subscribing to yourself such? Because now you have judges.
Yeah.
That are only looking at Orano. And I'm not hating on Orano. Orano invested in us. They gave us a desalination. But the point is this. We cannot make international laws and the trade things above the country interest.
Okay. It's a very interesting point that you made there. You know, one of the caller just asked me to say when African leaders, especially when they were calling for transformation of UN, the equality within international financial institution. One of the callers this day said, are we head or is just political communication like how things have been?
No, you are not ahead. Look, Trump, when the Colombian president spoke, Trump got angry.
Yeah.
And he wanted to revoke the visa of the Colombian president. And by the time, the Colombian president already left. So you were not ahead.
Yeah.
If this dude just repeat, people were just there to criticize and to give their points of how international institutions are. And then the same week, this dude doesn't want people to speak. He threatened.
Yeah.
So you were not ahead. So that's why now it's very important. Look, and Africans, man.
Yeah.
Africans lead. Somebody said, why do you always think solutions are going to come from America or from Europe?
Yeah.
That is where the conundrum within African countries. I do not know which Lord and God and ancestors they pray to, but I do not know because I expect them to meet in Addis Ababa and talk with such vigor like they're speaking at UN.
Yeah.
Now they are going to preach to people who don't care about them. Instead of them, there at our AU headquarters is where they are speaking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
To say, hey, that we create and we strengthen our own AU, which is actually funded by Europe again.
Yeah.
These guys are funny people, man. So, nobody will take you seriously if you are not united and you cannot strengthen your own institution. And that's why now Niger, Mali and Burkina Faso are facing all this hardship because of now the changes that they are making and them getting rid of those institutions that actually just bully them instead of protecting them. And the world, the international, whatever this body is, they just acted like that. They expect the most interesting thing is that these people expect you guys not to do anything because you keep doing the same thing. They are no more hiding because this is just an event. After Niger chased the French out of their country, after they Burkina and Mali did this, now all these things are coming.
Now, while we are there, is this to set a precedency so that other African countries will not come up with their reforms? Or because they say if you beat one enemy so hard, it will also show example to others so that they will not dare to do the same to you or to attack you. What do you think about this, especially with World Bank Arbitration Court?
Look, as I said, man.
Mm-hmm.
You came to invest in my country.
Yeah.
And the most important view that I want, I keep advocating for.
Yeah.
When the capital come in your country, guys, it did not come because the people are so generous. No, it came because it wanted something from your country.
Yeah.
So let us treat it in such a way that this is a mutual beneficial thing.
Mm-hmm.
Once we start treating it that way, once we stop laying a red carpet for investors from Europe, once we become honest with what we want, that this is our laws. Yes, there is policy certainty in Namibia, but once we get to realize that we are not getting as much as from your activity, expect changes. We need to be honest in such a way.
Yeah.
Policy certainty is very, very important. But let us also add a disclaimer to say, if we do an assessment and we realize that your investment in our country, we are not deriving value.
Yeah.
Not employment. We don't care about employment. Value.
Mm.
Then we will change the laws to make sure we derive value. That is now where we need to start. So people don't go, because now we are being taken to court by people who feel entitled to our resources just because they brought the machineries and the capital. Because we did not tell them from the beginning that yes, we have laws in place, but these laws, they can change if we do an assessment and we realize your transaction or your activity are damaging our environment. You are not paying the taxes that we want. we are actually not getting value from exporting raw material. So you need to put a disclaimer to everybody like that, so that when this type of things come, you have been clear. And also we need to tell the European companies, these mega companies, that you're not entitled. Just because you got a license, this is still my country, this is still my land. I still make it the laws. I do not subscribe it to your international whatever. No, I subscribe to the Namibian High Court and Supreme Court. That is the sovereignty, that is the sovereignty we are talking about. So if you're gonna play in here and I come up with the rules.
Yeah.
These rules I'm not, and I want us to speak with honesty.
Yeah.
I appreciate the fact that your capital came. I want your capital to earn.
Yeah.
But your earning and your return should not be on top of my people's prosperity. We need to speak in such a language that yes, capital need to earn. I understand you need to make money. It is the most important thing. You are earning money from my resource, but we need to make this very, very clear.
Yeah. Okay. Last three, I want your advice, especially regarding what lesson Namibia can learn from here. Because being the third largest producer of uranium does not mean that we do not have ambitions. And when you look at what our government have been pronouncing, it's like we also have ambition of on turning around and also do better with our uranium and also other minerals.
They won't do anything.
Okay, now what is your advice? Let us look at don't say that.
You cannot advise somebody who is not going to do anything. They want to do anything.
But do they want or they do not?
Look, they are making pronouncements from Katsima to Lutheran. Satenguari is everywhere reading long speeches and the government is going to what have they done? Nothing. They will not do anything. Believe me. Look, you.
Okay. What is the challenge? Are they scared of doing anything or is not possible?
It is possible to a certain extent, but it's, you have to look at the contract that's in place. And you also have to look at the context, at the historical context. When was the last time we did something crazy? No, we never did. We never did anything crazy. And again, when you listen to certain people that have access to the media, you know, we have people in here who say investors. Investors must be protected. Now you have the loudest people in Namibia.
Yeah.
Are those people, and they will not let your, and they are the advisor to some of your government institutions, and they listen. They will write opinion, they will go to their media and say government is under what, government is not the, and our policymakers, they are very scared. I'm sorry. They will not do anything. I'm sorry. But I just want to add to say, look, I don't think right now, we have people who have the guts to change this. And also looking at your socio-economic atmosphere, you are vulnerable. Dude, you got a ship coming from China with food. How are you going to negotiate the Chinese owning the biggest uranium? You can't. Until you solve your vulnerability, is when you will have the guts. So, and at this stage, we will not have the guts to go dramatically or to transform things like the Junta and the Niger because we are vulnerable. And vulnerability will take a bit of time for us to solve it.
So you are saying we need to sort out our basics first before we have strength to sit on the table?
Yes, definitely. Because now you have no bargaining power. What bargaining power do you have? If China released a social investment, whatever report of what they are doing in your country, they have donated school to you, and they own the two biggest mines, uranium. And again, remember, your currency is backed up by foreign currency. The biggest foreign currency earner here is minerals that are going to Europe and going to America, you know? So your only other diversified product now that you have is fish and salt. They are all going to African countries. So, Your vulnerability has so many, your economy is so structural weak, you can't make this type of crazy transformational decision. Tate Ifete can talk as loud as he wants.
Yeah.
The Madam President, she can give all the long speeches, but until they solve the weakest things within their structure of the economy, to be a bit independent, to avoid all this aid, and even your green hydrogen is being developed by European money. You are not putting a single cent. So you are so cornered in terms of what you will do, because you need these people to develop your sector. Until we move to a level where we can say we are going to develop this green hydrogen ourselves. We are going to do this agriculture ourselves, to innovate and to invest in ourselves, to build the nuclear plants and things like that. Until we are at such a level where we are able to do certain things on our own, even if they sanction us, like Iran or Iran. Iran is and North Korea, why are they doing whatever they're doing?
They have a
Iran produce their own food. Iran is the biggest manufacturing sector they are producing. China did the same thing. You see, until we move to such a level, your vice president, your prime minister, your minister of work, they will be all over the world making pronouncements, but no practical step they will take. How I dare you.
No, I think, you know, your honest observation, I think, can also require us to reflect, because when you have facts, even if you do not like them, that is what is going to save you. But thank you very much for your time, and thank you for your input. And I think I did the justice for my listeners who have been asking you for quite some time. But thank you, and thank you for your time and input.
All right, man. Thanks.
All right, sir.
Yes, that is Kanjoka Nkwanyoka. That is Kanjoka Nkwanyoka, putting it on the table. He deal with facts, and it's what you do with facts. It's how you interpret them. And see, there are callers here. But yeah, let us take the caller. Hello?
Yes, Chief.
Yes, how are you?
Good morning, good morning.
I'm well, I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm great.
What is your view?
I think my brother is right, just that my radio sound is not that good.
Where are you?
I'm in Windhoek, but I'm in the car sitting. I don't know what is happening.
Because I've also observed that when you're in a car, because when you are driving closer to Klein Windhoek, I've seen some cases, but I don't know what the frequency, how is it operating there. Yeah, but you can call back. That is Kanjoka Nkwanyoka. Kanjoka gave the facts on the table. He indicated to say you need a negotiating power to make decisions, because wanting something and doing something is quite a different thing. And having honest opinion and on the table will save us time and cost. Let's look at a commercial break, then move.
From sunrise to supper time, Namib Mills is there, feeding the nation with care, quality, and heart.
We believe food is more than nourishment. It's dignity. It's hope. It's the start of a better tomorrow.
Through sustainable production processes, job creation, and affordable, nutritious food, Namib Mills is driving economic growth one plate at a time. Because when we say feeding the nation,
we mean uplifting lives,
empowering communities, and building a future where no one is left behind.
Namib Mills, proudly Namibian,
passionately feeding the nation. Namib Mills,
feeding the nation.
Yes, Kanjoka indicated to say for us to speak about uranium, for us to speak about the radical economic changes and also shift in the Namibian economy, we need to make sure that we sort out the basics. We are supposed to sort out the issues of housing already. Then we sort out the issues of, food security. Then we can come on the table to say, now that we are feeding ourselves, now that we know we are sustainable in terms of food, we can talk about uranium, we can talk about diamond, we can talk about shares, we can talk about at least start with 15%. Then you can move forward. At least we can start talking about value addition. And that is an honest opinion, because if you are at a negotiation table and the food that you are eating, I'm the one who gave them to you. The clothes that you are wearing, I'm the one who gave them to you. the cars that you, that drove you here, the one who gave them to you, the technological communication that you are using to communicate with me, and the one who gave them to you, how are you going to negotiate with me? What is that that you have apart from land? Even the transport that is taking those minerals, you did not make any. Because people, when they come on the table, they have negotiation power. They can pull the plug to say, how are you going to survive? Because remember, yesterday I spoke about country shifting to the east. Countries are shifting to China, to Russia, and to BRICS world due to unfavorable tariffs. But I put the question of Namibia to say, I think we still need to maintain this, the policies that we have. That is the only way we are going to survive. We are a small nation. We are still in need in a lot of things. We can do a lot of pronunciation to say we want what, but we also need to make sure that we know our strength and we also know our weakness. And the issue of Oranos, it's very interesting. It's very interesting. And the question that you asked, and something that Kajango mentioned is that, you know, beyond a nation, in terms of international politics and governance, beyond the nation, there is no more absolute power, because power remains with sovereign. Even when you look at the establishment of United Nations, I used to think, if you are head of United Nations, you are like a president of the world, but that's not how things are. Because how smaller the country is in terms of international standard, the sovereign of the country matters. That's why the laws, internal laws of the country matters. When the country is making transformation, their laws matters. And they must be respected. That is why when the judgment of international law must reflect what is happening domestically, as long as the establishment of international law actually is deriving from what states have agreed upon and what conventions they have agreed upon. And you cannot agree to a certain convention which is not in line with your domestic laws. That is why that aspect of mining is a very interesting aspect, and also aspect of value addition. Because remember, we spoke about the 8th administration, and we spoke about programs and plans which are on the table. But where is the practical part of it? And that is the question that was asked. Maybe it's the right time now to think about doing something, especially when it comes to value addition, especially when it's coming to feed. Let's start with feeding ourselves. Before we start making our own clothes, we must make sure that we feed ourselves. What mechanism are we using to make sure that we are standing on our own? Because we need to cut that, that dependency of, imagine the other time I was speaking about, you have your police officers, you have your security clusters, your military personnel who are being fed with food from outside. What if somebody want to weaken you? You do not have any control. You have, your people, what you are wearing, what somebody is feeding you. And I think it's up to us Namibian, especially, the youth, to see which areas do we need to invest in. Is it necessary for me to invest in buying KFC, or to invest in making my own, poultry farming, or making my own vegetable garden? Which one is right? Which one is a healthy food? And, when I'm supporting this institution, which I'm not against to, who am I'm supporting? So let's take the caller. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, how are you?
I'm back.
Oh, welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. What happened with the network?
Yeah. I don't know. I definitely agree with what Kanje was saying.
Yeah.
Because obviously when you are going for negotiations, you must have a bargaining power.
Yeah.
Yeah. We start with food securities.
Yeah.
And then also housings and all that.
Yeah.
I was laughing the other days when I understood that there is an advertisement of apparently Namibia want to build a smart town or something like that. And then I was saying, yeah, you have close to 1 million people who does not have houses, and you want to go and build the smart towns.
Who's going to live there?
Yeah, who's going to live there? The elite, of course.
Yeah.
And the foreigners.
Yeah.
So that they can actually set every mechanism today in place in order for them to control us.
Yeah.
And these are the things that most of our leaders don't realize.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me come back to the topic. I definitely believe also that after we put everything together, to somehow project the bargaining power, the most important things that we might need or we must need is that we need security. Then security, because you cannot go and ask what you actually want while you don't have securities. Security is very, very much important.
Yeah.
And then securities will provide you to have sovereignty over your own countries in every decision that you are going to make.
Yeah.
So these are the most important things. I could say the reason why they don't go gun blazing on South Africa.
Yeah.
It is because South Africa, they have securities upon them. They are under the umbrella of security. Yeah, because they are part of BRICS. And that is one thing you have to understand. Because they could have sanctioned South Africa already a long time ago. But for them to sanction South Africa, they also now have to think twice. Because, to sanction South Africa, that will accelerate the de-dollarizing process that is in place now.
South Africa is a giant also.
Yeah, South Africa is a giant also, and you know, most of the mines that are there, belongs to them.
You see,
so that is where South Africa has power to even take Israel to the ICJ.
Yeah.
You see,
I hear you.
So a vulnerable country cannot do
that. Not an ordinary Dave.
No, you just can't do that.
Yeah.
That is now one thing, because you go to BRICS, as I told you the other day,
We
are not looking to
counter,
to decouple.
Yeah.
Completely decouple. We just want to have alternatives.
Yeah.
And that will provide us an equal power, so by bargaining powers,
and you know,
if we don't want, we are going here.
Yeah.
Until we get what we want. Because with no alternative, with no securities, you can't get any of those things. But the most important things also, again, like Kanjego said, is food securities. Because they might strangle you there.
But I think with food security, we really need to work on that, because it's something that I don't know if we're not motivated to look at it. And the way we hated agriculture at the primary school is just something that we really need to go and relook to say, these are some of the things that we could have prioritized. Even when you look at the teachers of agriculture, even themselves, they did not really have that power or that pride to say, I'm the one who is holding the economy. We start realizing these things later to say, food, you can't live without food, or food business will never go down because everybody need to eat.
Yeah.
But we realize those things, but I think that is something that we really need to work on, because if I come to your table and you fed me, you are the one who gave me clothes, you gave me car and an iPhone, what do I have?
Nothing.
Yeah, but apart from that, because let us look at the solution, because Kanjengo put me in a very difficult position. You analyst, you put me in a very difficult position because you put facts out there. Now, what is that need to be done for the next 5 years? Where do we need to start? Are we at the right track, or what is that need to be done?
Right now, as we are speaking.
Yeah.
No, we are not. Obviously.
But what do you think? The government is trying to do right, or what advice do you have? Because at the end of the day, we need to move somewhere.
we need to move somewhere. As I told you, what Kanjego has lined out.
Yeah.
Or put on, have nations and say, look, he has just pointed out one of the factors or one of the factors that can enable us to have a bargaining power.
Yeah.
Because you can't go and say, I want this while you are hungry.
Yeah.
You must make sure that you have food securities. And then the most important things to me is securities. You must have securities.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go there while you are insecure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Food securities and also securities for the countries. That's the most important things that we need to try and find out.
Yeah.
Just like I said to you,
yeah.
The reason why South Africa stood up and take Israel to the international court,
yeah,
it is because they know that they are under the umbrellas of protections. In BRICS, you get securities,
yeah,
you get sovereigns,
yeah.
And then even food securities, they might support you also when you are in problem, because that is what they are advocating for, that
yeah.
countries must make decisions of their own depending on what they have. Yeah. You see, there is one thing that we don't realize.
Yeah.
The whole system of democracies was not designed for us. It was not designed to advantage us. Never. Even the education systems, the economic systems,
yeah.
the monetary systems, the governing bodies,
yeah.
all these structures. Look at even the United Nations.
Yeah.
Trump is shifting blame, if you have listened to him very careful.
Yeah, I did.
To the United Nations, that there has been destruction, there has been wars throughout the world, and it was only them that does that.
Yeah.
You need to remember that a UN,
yeah,
it's supposed to be an independent body,
yeah,
an international independent body,
yeah,
but it is actually left there by those who actually set it up,
yeah,
with no power. When you talk about the United Nations, you are just talking about, it's just like you are talking about Namibia or any other global South countries with no power. But it's called apparently the United Nations with no power.
It is left with the name only.
Yeah. The Americans have got power.
Yeah.
Much more stronger, the veto power that they have, much more stronger than the United Body itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because a resolution can be passed,
blocked.
The countries can vote in favor,
yeah,
and then they come and vote, and then they come and veto it.
Then it's out.
And then the United Nations cannot use its power of veto and say, "Look, this cannot be.
Mm.
This is democracy. You are opposing democracy. It's 149 countries that has vote. You are only one USA.
Mm.
Who are you? You see?"
I hear you.
This is where we have to realize that these things were not designed to advantage us.
Hmm.
We need to try and look for something else.
Okay, I got your point. We need we need security. We need food security and also security for protection. And we also need to have an alternative. Thank you.
And it's just like I told you the other day that the future is in BRICS.
I know you made your point, and I think Mr. Boko is listening to you, and what Botswana business community is also saying, to say, no guys, we have been trading, but 15% is still much, and we can't live like this. Let us move to the east, while we are also negotiating. But thank you for your input. Unless you
thank
have
you very much.
Okay, Shapiro.
All right, thank you very much, boss.
All right. Yeah, it's 45 minutes past the hour of 7. We have around 15 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. You can still communicate with us. I'll give your input at 083-288-401. Yes?
Mr. David?
Yes, Chief.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Fine, thank you. I don't know what's wrong with my app.
It's not working.
It's not connecting you.
But have you tried to restart it?
Just a refresh.
To refresh her?
Yeah.
Refreshing?
Yeah.
Oh, do I even know how to do that?
Okay, if you have access to... Let me also check mine, and then I'll also ask if other people, the apps are not working. But yesterday it was operational. But I'll check through. But are you following?
No, I'm not following it.
Oh, no, today, yes, okay.
I just randomly call, and even yesterday, one of the.
Mm-hmm. No, I'll talk to, I think the technical team is listening and see how, they are going to sort that out. And today we are speaking about Niger taken to court by.
Who?
Niger is a country, Niger.
Okay.
Niger was taken to court by Uranos. It's a French company which is mining uranium. And, apparently it seized, its uranium. Then the World Bank Arbitration Court realized to say Niger must give back the uranium that, Uranos was mining. And if they are not doing that, Uranos will be able also to access the asset outside the country which belong to Niger. It's something that is, for example, when we want to come up with mining reforms, then one company is not complying, you seize that production, then what happens is that they take you to court in your own country with your own mineral resources. What do you think about that?
Yeah. So now, and then it has gone out to this arbitration.
Yeah.
Facilitating that thing.
Yeah, they gave a ruling to say give back 1,000 tons of uranium that you took from Uranos. It was stolen.
You mean the company that has stolen the thing, or is the country that has stolen?
Apparently, it's the country.
Has stolen the resources.
Yeah.
So I think those things that do happen. So, but then it is a company taking the country to court. And the company is operating there under the legal framework.
Yeah, because what the country did, they reform. They come up, because you know when the new military government came in, they changed with laws to say, guys, let's stop selling these raw materials. We are no more going to sell raw materials. We are going to refine and we are going to add value to our uranium. Because Niger also has uranium like Namibia. Then then they suspended the... You know, the certificate.
Operation.
Yeah, the operation of Uranos, and that is what have happened. And there is a lot of things happening. There's a lot of talks in the media to say, how come you are undermining the sovereign of the country?
Yeah,
all those things.
I think they can still appeal, and the decision can still be turned around.
Yeah.
So maybe there might be, it's true, maybe they have gone into contractual agreement. And that agreement was for how long? Was it indefinite? Whether it was indefinite, anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But what they were, and you are saying they are not complying. They are not complying to some other requirements, isn't it?
Yeah, they did not comply because there is a new law which is in place to say we are not.
So let them just say the law that is enacted.
But,
should be the one to guide.
Kanjengo was even in the studio. You should have listened. You people, you were the one who were asking to say, where is Kanjengo? Kanjengo was explaining this thing to
Enos.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but with an app, you can still go back and listen, to the podcast. Yeah. You can still go back and listen.
Let us, I think the sovereignty of the country should be respected.
Yeah.
And if this is just an individual company, I know that they have been doing that. Just try to extract resources and send them to their countries, refine them and develop their country and things like that. And this is a French company, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Uh-huh. So you see most of this instability that are happening, especially in West Africa.
Yeah.
Those French colonies, there are a lot of things that are happening. And the France is not happy, and we are also not happy because our minerals have been extracted and taken away.
Yeah.
So I think since they have come up with a law, so the company must just have to comply with the new law.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, my brother. Let me try to adjust my app and see how I can listen.
All right. Thank you.
Otherwise, I'll get stressed for the rest of the day.
No, you don't need to be stressed because you always get time to go back to the podcast and, yeah.
I know. I like the live things, man.
All right. But I think it will be sorted. Okay.
Good.
Yeah, we have 9 minutes before the hour of 8. Before we give the mic to Mike to unpack the day, we have 9 minutes there. And yeah, while we are here, we also need to look at when we are talking about the youth fund. I think the final list of National Youth Development Fund is out. Those of you who applied for the financial assistance, especially with Youth Fund, the final list is out. Your business, business people here, and also the list, I have it here. Not going to mention names. It's up to you to go and look. Well, who do we have in Omsati? Who do we have in Kavango East? Who do we have in Hardap? And also, look at the list of approved projects and also the employment creation prediction. In this case, the employment creation prediction, you'll be able to understand that the total amount of money that is of approved project now is standing at 14.7 million. 14.7 million, and you'll be able to understand that there are around 3232 companies per region, and it's up to you to go and check. Youth companies got money. We're talking, some got 90,000, some got up to 1 million, some got up to 250. And let's wish this money, will be used for the good cause and also create employment, which is stated. And also the aspect which have been stated, aspect of monitoring and evaluation to see. You find, companies, with a prediction of employing 13 people, for example, of 20 people, then you get around 1 million. How is this going to be tangible? And what is the maintenance of this fund? And I think it's quite a very interesting development. And it's up to us and go and check what is there. Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
How are you, sir?
Good, are you?
Not so bad, thank you. It's Tonata.
Yes, Tonata, how are you doing?
It's been a while.
Yeah, man.
I'm highly disappointed to see whatever they are doing to that youth development fund.
What is your opinion?
My opinion on that is the fact that, we initiated that time.
Yeah.
The National Youth Fund.
Yeah.
They only added the word development. Because the young lady Sharonis Bush did not know what to go with to parliament.
Oh, okay,
that
okay.
That time she was still a student when we were both members of the youth council.
Okay, okay.
That is my time with Hila Zivungo, Neville Andre, that time we said it.
But we came up with
that concept.
Yeah.
With the idea that.
Yeah.
It was supposed to actually serve like a sovereign wealth fund.
Mm-hmm.
The level richer that we have now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But that was meant to be managed and administered by the National Youth Council.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It is within the act of the National Youth Council, actually, if you look at it.
Oh, now looking at your initiation and also what you
project implementation, how it has been hijacked. We have 14 regional youth forums.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That are non-partisan.
Yeah.
And a lot of national youth organizations.
So they
were supposed now to be.
Yeah.
Because they are already well organized.
Yeah.
At that level.
Uh-huh.
They were supposed now to be the beneficiaries of that National Youth Fund.
Oh, so
that, the other idea was that they would be a committed fish quota to that youth fund.
Yeah.
At the same time with Bridgehead, that company that is headed by this guy who's running now for Councillor Zeno. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So
it
that
was not supposed to be an individual project. It was supposed to be like a corporate issue.
Mm-hmm.
And then the mining companies and what will be committed to giving 10% to that National Youth Fund.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we are out of the board and all this, these people hijack the things, they implemented it wrongly. How do you give 43 people or 43 projects? 253 million. And the way they structured their expectation. Agriculture, what enterprise? And then you are expected to have a business plan.
And also maybe my question is also here. I think we also have the same question to say, how are you going to monitor and evaluate this? Or you are just putting money there, then it's done. Are you going to monitor? Do you have a certain level of accountability? Because
whoever is given that responsibility right now.
Yeah.
That's why some of us are unemployed. But uh-huh. We have institutional memory of this issue.
I hear you.
We are deliberately kept out.
Yeah.
And now you give me Erika Shafuta that responsibility without people who have the knowledge and capability of doing that.
But what is the involvement of NYC in this? Did they involve NYC in the production?
NYC has been castrated off that project. They took it away. So wherever it is now, whoever is going to be doing that monitoring and evaluation.
Yeah.
May God be with them.
Okay, now while we have 1 minute, what is your view? What do we need to do moving forward, especially when it's coming to youth development, and also make sure that we don't just empower one people, we empower everybody. What do you think need to be done to strengthen?
That is the initial idea of the regional youth forums. The regional youth forums have close to 100, if you count 100 people per region, times 14.
Yeah.
And all the 121 political constituencies.
Yeah.
You will do better. As corporate.
Yeah.
Cooperatives.
I hear you.
Yeah. That is my idea.
Yeah, because I was even asking.
Instead of giving Nandapo investment, what? Yeah. Things like that.
Okay. Thank you for input. Thank you.
Your comment.
Yeah. All right.
Sharp.
Go. Yes, we are always happy, especially when youth leaders are coming on board and discuss about this issue. It's our own country. You come, you give your opinion, your view, and your developmental agenda. So say Youth Fund was established by NYC. But the fact that it's, young people who are benefiting is also good, but incorporating all the youth institution is also quite important. And also looking at what need to be done. Because I remember the other time I was visiting a project at Dowries, and I said, what is your involvement with the youth forum within the constituency? Then people are like, what is that? What do you mean? But yeah, let us end here and give the mic to Mike. And from me, David Shombe. Bye-bye for now.